California. My stepbrother Jack and I one time decided to take a ride up to Napa. We got halfway up, and on the left side, there was a palmistry shop. How many have ever seen that palmistry shop on the way up? It has a big sign with a big red hand. I wasn't involved with church at the time, and I said, Jack, let's go in and talk to the palmistry lady there. And he said, oh, no, I don't want anything to do with that. I said, oh, it'll be fun. Come on. So we went in, and there's one of these ladies with the robe and the turban. What do you call those people who go between you and the spirits? Medium. And so we sat down, and my brother wasn't comfortable at all. And the lady says, put your hands on this table. And the lights went out and got real dark in there. And next thing you know, there's this thing on the table lifting the table up, and a scratchy record said, we're spirits you haven't contacted for a long time. My brother said, I'm going to the car. I said, no, just wait till it's all over. So you could tell it was phony, the record player going and all. And then the table sat back down, the lights came on, and the medium came in and said, well, did you boys have the true experience? And my brother said, yeah, and we're leaving. I said, no, I don't think I have. She said, well, come with me. And my brother went out to the car to wait. So we went off into this little side room, and she had this funny grin on her face. She said, I'm happy. Are you happy? Man, weird. She took a step toward me. She said, I'm happy. Are you happy? My heart's going boom, 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 boom. She took another step. I'm happy. Are you happy? So I reached for the doorknob, and there was no knob on my side. I said, now, lady, you come any closer, I'm going to hit you. She took another step, and I struck her. But I didn't feel bad, because when I was a little boy, my dad said, son, always try to strike a happy medium. How many of you think Pastor will have me back? I was in New Jersey. It was about 3 weeks before Christmas. I'd had a terrible day at work. Everything had gone wrong, and I'm tired. I want to go home, and I'm waiting in line to mail a package, UPS. And this head keeps popping around my shoulder. And finally, I just made it easier for them. They were snooping on what's on my package. So the lady said, oh, you're sending a package to Vallejo, California. I said, yes, ma'am, I'm from there. She said, let me tell you a story about Vallejo. And I thought, oh, great. I don't need this. I was born and raised in Vallejo. I don't need any stories. I'm tired. She said she and her husband won a contest for sales, and the prize was all expenses trip to Disneyland. And they decided, since they're never going to get out the West Coast again, they'll get a rental car and go up and see the whole coast. She said they're driving across the Carquinez Bridge, and he says, oh, we're entering Valley Joe. And she says, well, it's a Spanish name. It's Vallejo. He said, no, I heard the guys back there talking about it's Valley Joe. She said, well, it's really not important, but it is Vallejo. And they got in a big argument over this. So the man's getting madder and madder and madder, and finally he pulled off the freeway, pulled in front of this little business, yanked her by the arm, took her into this little business, went up to the counter, and there's a short, skinny, bald-headed guy, and he said, now look, you, real careful and real slowly, you tell me the name of this place. The guy said, Dairy Queen. Are you ready? In 1924, General Billy Mitchell, who was the top pilot during World War I, made a report after visiting Hawaii. In 1924, he gave this warning. He predicted a future war with Japan that would open with a carrier-based attack on Pearl Harbor. January 27th, 1941, there was a warning. U.S. Ambassador Grew sent this message to the U.S. Office of Naval Intelligence. The Japanese are planning a what? Everybody. On what? I received this information from what? Many sources. March 31st, 1941, the Martin Bellinger Report, which you can still read. It's a very famous report. It warns that Pearl Harbor is vulnerable to a simultaneous airplane and submarine attack. The details of the report amazingly parallel what later happened. April 1st, 1941, War Department, Washington, D.C. reminds Pearl Harbor officials that Japanese history abounds with surprise attacks at when? And what day? For example, the Russo-Japanese War of 1905. September 24th, 1941, there was a sign, U.S. Army intercepts Tokyo message number 83 in J-19 code. Message reads, quote, "We, the Japanese, would like more detailed reports concerning exact locations of all Navy ships." Where? November 20th, 1941, U.S. intercepted a Japanese message marked secret. Message reads, investigate the U.S. fleet at Pearl Harbor comprehensively. November 27th, 1941, this warning, U.S. War Department message number 472 received at Pearl Harbor said, negotiations with Japanese have terminated, hostile action possible any moment. December 2nd, 1941, the FBI intercepted this message from Tokyo to Honolulu. The presence in port of warships is of utmost importance. Let me know day by day. December 3rd, 1941, the Japanese Consul General Cook leaked the fact that the Consul General had ordered all important documents to be destroyed. December 3rd, 1941, message from Washington, D.C. to Honolulu read, quote, "Our considered opinion and concludes that Japan plans early hostilities with Britain and the United States." December 5th, 1941. U.S. naval destroyers Selfridge and Talbot both report sightings of enemy submarines near Oahu. Remember the Martin Bellinger report said we're susceptible to a simultaneous air and submarine attack. December 5th, 1941. More signs, more warnings. Then they saw signs that the warnings were about to become reality. December 6th warning at 5 p.m., General Short receives an urgent message from the FBI regarding possible hostilities. General Short, on his way to the officers' club, gives this historic answer. Everybody read with me. There is nothing to worry about. Early morning, December 7th, 1941, U.S. destroyer Ward spotted enemy submarines at the mouth of Pearl Harbor. Word passed to Captain Earle, Chief of Staff, Pacific Fleet. His response, everybody, just wait for further developments. The cares of this world. The most important event of the day was the football game Oregon versus Hawaii. They had a competition between the bands, and that Saturday evening, the bars were packed. All of the military clubs were holding big parties. Readiness was secondary to having a good time. Admiral Stark was at the movies. Admiral Kimmel and General Short were preparing for a Sunday morning golf match. The Navy's combat intelligence officer was planning a Sunday morning picnic, and so were the Japanese. Not everyone was partying. Staff Sergeant Charlie Judd was reading in bed on Saturday night. He was reading an article from Aviation Magazine called "The Weakness of Japanese Air Power." Meanwhile, 230 miles north of Oahu, Vice Admiral Chuichi Nagumo's task force is preparing for attack. Six aircraft carriers. By the way, today we have 12. Two battleships, three cruisers, numerous destroyers, and 28 submarines. Japanese warplanes in this picture, Sunday morning, December 7th, 1941, getting ready. Despite many authoritative warnings and signs to indicate those warnings are true, an attack was something that they just could not believe. It was too big an event to actually believe it. All the authorities said it's coming, all the signs indicating it's on its way, but it was just too big to accept. Entertainment and pleasure of this world had more influence than the many authoritative warnings and signs. Peace and safety held the thoughts of everyone. The latest radar was something the English gave us. Radar was in place at five sites on Oahu Island. These radar stations reported into the information center at Fort... Not up there yet? What happened to our guide back here? Radar was in place at five sites. These radar stations reported into where? Fort Shafter. Good thing we checked with these guys. Lieutenant Kermit Tyler, U.S. Army pilot, was on duty for the radar stations. 6:52 a.m., Sunday morning, December 7th, 1941, three different radar sites report a huge blip, indicating a large group of planes coming in from the northeast. They're 136 miles out. Lieutenant Tyler's response, everybody, It is nothing to get excited about. They wondered if the radar was functioning properly. When the operators saw the biggest blip they had ever seen, they questioned if the radar was working properly or not. They were told by their superior, "There is nothing wrong with the radar. It is working fine." So they began tracking the blips. Blip, blip. 708, 113 miles out and closing. 715, 92 miles and closing. Blip, blip. 725, 62 miles and closing. 730, 47 miles and closing. 739, 22 miles and closing. Blip, blip. 745, 4 miles in closing, and you're not going to believe what happened next. They decided to shut down the radar station and go get something to eat. The authoritative warnings and the signs were all there, but weren't heeded. The signal came out. Three different waves came down. The call was Tora, 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 meaning Tiger, 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 we've got them by surprise. They're not ready. Go ahead with the fighting. Commander Mitsuo Fushida led the charge of 350 planes, 28 submarines. It was a 2.5-hour turkey shoot. Here's some photos of the damage. Japanese aerial photo. They took this picture of the attack December 7, 1941. USS Shaw explodes during a Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor. Rescuing survivor, USS West Virginia during Pearl Harbor raid. Arizona sunk at Pearl Harbor. More carnage. Notice the man slumped, civilian shot dead. Results of the attack. 18 U.S. ships sunk or destroyed. 250 American planes destroyed. 1,700 people badly wounded. 2,403 people killed. How could this possibly have happened? There were numerous warnings written by time by various authors. Many signs leading up to the event indicated that the authoritative warnings were accurate. They had many authorities saying it's true, it's going to happen. They had many signs saying it probably will happen. And with all of this, they simply weren't ready. There was a court of inquiry after the attack. They wanted to find out why could this have happened. Here's what they found. First of all, the words of the authorities were not properly disseminated. People did not get the word out to everybody. Second, the military groups did not work in harmony. You're Navy, we're Army, we want nothing to do with you. The signs and warnings were virtually ignored. There was a failure to prepare. There was a failure to prepare. What are Christians doing with their authoritative warnings? The English gave us what? Everybody. They gave it so we would know what is coming. The writings of the numerous prophets tell us what is coming. If you study archaeology, you'll find out that there's no archaeological finding that it's ever controverted anything in the Bible. Most archaeologists today take a Bible to the dig because they want to use it as a reference. There's no scientific error in the Bible. The prophecies would take hours and hours and hours to show you, but they've come to pass. The Bible is a phenomenally accurate book. It says things are coming. At Pearl Harbor, 2,403 souls perished for failure to heed the warnings and to prepare for what was coming. In the future, millions will perish for failing to heed the Bible and for not preparing for the events that are coming. Will you be prepared? Will you really be prepared? Something very big is coming. Up until the 1950s, printers in America used wood type. How many of you ever saw wood type? How many of you ever used wood type? Why did they use wood type? Because if you were doing a big headline, lead is so heavy, it wouldn't be practical. So the big letters were of wood. The bigger the event, the bigger the what? Type. Everybody, the bigger the event, the bigger the what?
Type.
For 200 years, printers called the very biggest type second coming type. Because what event will ever be more important than the second coming of Christ? Is the second coming of Christ too big to believe? For many it is. They just cannot believe it. It's impossible to believe. Are you like General Short? It's nothing to worry about. Are you like Captain Earl? Let's wait for further developments. We want some kind of proof before we get excited. Are you like Lieutenant Tyler? Don't get excited. Are you like Lockhart and Elliot? We have our flesh to feed. How authoritative do the warnings have to be? Jesus said unto him, I am the what, everybody? The way, the what? And the what? No man cometh unto the Father but by what? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will what? And receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. How authoritative does the warning have to be? Matthew 24 tells us, Israel will be regathered as a nation. Did that happen? When you study about it, it should never have happened. But it did. Jews will retake Jerusalem. They did in 1967. It said they'll get back their holy city. That should never have happened. The temple would be rebuilt, and right now there's plans going on, there's funding going on, huge amounts of money are being accumulated to build the new temple. It'll happen. The Bible says there'll be a one-world government. We have a United Nations. The Bible said there'd be a one-world system of buying and selling. We have universal barcodes now, UPCs, or whatever you call them. The Bible in Hebrews 9:28 says, unto them that look for him shall he what? Appear the second time unto salvation for those who are looking for him. They weren't looking at Pearl Harbor. They weren't ready. They were professionals, but they weren't ready. How many Christians really aren't ready and aren't even looking? Will you be left behind? There's signs that say Pearl Harbor survival. You see them on the license plates. How many of you ever saw one? It's very possible someday there'll be rapture survivor on those. Now, there might be those in our midst who are good people, but they simply don't believe that Christ died, buried, and rose again. I taught atheist classes in Vallejo, California for over a year. I said, religion is a man-made crutch for weak people. I don't need it. I don't want it. How many of you ever heard of Simon Greenleaf? Go to the internet and check him out. He was a famous Harvard University law professor. His specialty was evidence. And they asked him, Mr. Greenleaf, you're an expert at evidence, probably the greatest expert in the world on legal evidence. Will you check and see, was there really a resurrection of Jesus Christ? Or is that just a mythological religious story? He ended up writing a 3-volume treatise on the law of evidence. You can go research it and look it for yourselves. The question was, does the evidence prove the resurrection happened, or is it just a religious story? After exhaustive study, Greenwalt wrote, quote, according to the legal laws of evidence used in courts of law, there is more evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ than for any other event in all of ancient history. Now that's legal evidence. That's scientific evidence. Mr. Al Roper, who was one time mayor of Norfolk, Virginia, and for 42 years was a trial lawyer, if you had done something wrong and wanted the best defense attorney in the world, you went and got Mr. Roper. He was like Johnny Cochran and all that team put together. What was his specialty? Legal evidence. He was asked to look at the evidence of the resurrection. He studied it for 2 years. And here's what he says. You can go to the internet and find this quote. I say unequivocally that the evidence for the resurrection of Christ is so overwhelming that it leaves no room whatsoever for doubt. Now, this is a lawyer speaking. Lawyers use all that wiggle room language. But he said there's no doubt on the basis of legal evidence that Christ really did resurrect. In England, there was a man named Lord Darling. He happened to be the Chief Justice of England, the head legal man in all of England. He too was asked, we have all these religious people saying Christ died, buried, and rose again the third day. Did that really happen? So Lord Darling said, well, we'll check. He was not a Christian. Here's what his quote was after investigation. No intelligent jury in the world would fail to bring in a verdict that the resurrection story is absolutely true. We are not ready. At Pearl Harbor, trained professionals were what? Everybody. Preoccupation with entertainment, sports, alcohol, partying, movies, feeding the flesh blinded them to the signs and warnings so that warnings were not heeded. There were scoffers at Pearl Harbor. When the attack began, Robert Osborne, a Navy man, said the Army is going to get in trouble for practicing using live bombs. General Short, upon hearing the bomb, said, it's just the dumb Navy guys having some kind of practice. Joseph Messier on board the USS Helena said, quote, the alarm bell is just another attempt by the executive officer to try to get all the crew to go to church. Scoffers to the second coming, and 2 Peter says, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. There's scoffers today that say, hey, it's always going to be the way it is. Things are going to continue as they were from the beginning. We're just going to keep evolving and evolving and evolving. No resurrection, no Christ to worry about. Are you ready? Scoffing doesn't change the facts. An incredibly big event is on its way. Luke chapter 21, verses 34 to 36. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting or partying and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come to all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to be able to stand before the Son of Man. What's the most famous book written about Pearl Harbor? What's it called? Everybody in the room. At dawn, they what? You guys are behind back there. Pastor, did they do this to you too? The expression was what, everybody? They caught us asleep. This expression was most commonly used to explain the lack of preparedness during military tribunal held to determine blame. They had to blame somebody, and all the testimonial was, they caught us asleep, they caught us asleep, they caught us asleep. We weren't ready. And so the book is called What Everybody At Dawn They Slept. Out of a large number of books written about Pearl Harbor, At Dawn They Slept is perhaps the most famous. Remember the question, is it working properly? Some question our King James Bible. Is it working properly? Is it for real? Is it true? Do we need a new version? The King James Version is working fine. The problem is not the word. The problem is failing to heed the authoritative warnings and signs and failing to properly prepare for what's coming. There's over 200 references in the Old Testament to the first coming of Christ. Prophet after prophet after prophet foretold Christ's coming. They were fulfilled with precise detail. He'd be born in a little town of Bethlehem, taken into Egypt. He'd be riding upon a donkey. He'd be death by crucifixion. By the way, when that was written, they weren't crucifying. They were stoning. He would die with criminals, be buried in a rich man's tomb, and many, many, many others. Came to pass exactly. The Bible says, "This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." The Bible says he's coming back. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 says, everybody, will you read with me? "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven." There are twice as many references to Christ's second coming as there were to his first coming. There are over 400 Bible references indicating Christ is coming back. The disciples asked Jesus directly, "When will you return to earth?" Jesus answered the question in Matthew chapter 24. Jesus said, "Look for what first?" Everybody, begins with an F. Famines. Next. 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 Now you say, wait a minute. We've always had these things. How could this be a sign? Well, how would it be a sign? If we said to you, look for fires in Santa Rosa, you've always had fires in Santa Rosa. But what if you had all-time record fires in Santa Rosa? Would that be a sign? Matthew 24, 67 says, "And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must" what? "But the end is not yet, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom." Wars. 1918, World War I was called what, everybody? Now, Jesus said, up until the time he comes back, there'll be wars and rumors of wars. So the way you've proved the Bible false is stop wars. No more wars. Jesus is false. What did they call World War I? They had the Kellogg-Briand Pact. They had the League of Nations. They said, we can never have a big war again. 1919, League of Nations was founded to assure no more what? 20 years later, World War II, 78 million killed, 10 times the number killed in World War I. 1945, the UN was formed for what reason? To end war. If we all get together in the United Nations, no more war. That was the charter. Since 1945, in this world, there's been 50 major wars. The United States has been involved in many, Korean, Vietnam, Gulf, and others. What was the next thing that Jesus said to look for? Begins with an F. Famines. There shall be famines. Well, we've always had famines, so how could that be a sign? Historians Dr. Paul Ehrlich, Dr. Barry Cominger, Dr. William Paddock all said the 1970s ushered in a new age in world history. What was that new age called? Everybody in the room. Three PhDs said, look, we're entering a new era in our history called the age of what? Jesus said, before I come back, there's going to be famines like you've never seen before. And there'd be what? Begins with a P, which is connected with diseases. There'll be diseases. Well, we've always had diseases, but there'll be diseases like we've never had before. During World War I, cancer was called the what? Today, cancer is the number two leading cause of death in the U.S. By the way, the Evans son-in-law, Dr. Greg Evans, is researching, involved with people who research for cancer to find cures, and he's involved with the funding for this. Very, very important. But you know what? World War I, cancer was no problem. Huge problem today. It's leading cause of death in the U.S., second leading cause, and might even pass up heart disease as number one day. In 2001, 553,768 people died in the United States from various forms of what? But in 1919, not a problem. Pestilence, connected with disease. The numbers are staggering. 5 million people became infected with HIV last year, more than any previous year. Nearly 38 million adults and children are living with HIV worldwide today. While Africa continues to be hard hit, Asia now is the fastest growing new epidemic. It's spreading faster in Asia than it did in Africa. 30 years ago, the pestilence AIDS was unheard of. How many of you heard of it 40, 50 years ago? In less than 30 years, over 500,000 in the United States have died from AIDS. You find this in Newsweek, June 2, 2001. Wars killed how many in the past 90 years? Everybody. All of our U.S. wars killed 430,000 people. World War I, how many? World War II. Korean War. By the way, Grant Evans was in the tank battalion during the Korean War. Vietnam War. Gulf Wars. Total how many? From 1919 to date, 429,000 have died in war. How many from AIDS? I remember there was a hippie movement and they said, make love, not war. AIDS killed more in one-third the time than all the U.S. wars of the past century. You got to be careful about making love. If it's not the Bible way, you can have big problems. I don't look down on homosexual people. I love them just like I love anybody else. But the spread of AIDS is a devastating thing. Earthquakes. Jesus said, if you want to know when I'm coming back, the disciples said, how do we know? You say you're coming back. What do we look for? And he told them what to look for. And one of the things begins with an E is what? Have you had any recently here? It's the one where the preacher's preaching, everybody leaves the room. You call that backing of your friends? Jesus said there'll be earthquakes in divers or various places. The World Book Encyclopedia says from 1,000 to what date? There were how many major earthquakes? In 900 years, there was one major quake every how often? From 1900 to 2004, there were 40 major earthquakes. 104 years, one quake every 3 years. It's a 20 times increase in the number of major earthquakes. Do we live in a time when there's an unusual number of heavy earthquakes? Yes. It will happen again, but on a much bigger scale. 80% of the worst earthquakes of all time have occurred during the past 50 years. There were plenty of authoritative messages that Pearl Harbor would experience an attack. It seemed too big to be true, and the cares of this world overtook them. Are you preparing? We have plenty of authoritative word that Christ is coming again. We have many signs to indicate the warnings are true. For most, including Christians, it's too big an event to really believe. The cares and pleasures of this world keep most of us from being ready. We're almost done. James 5:8, could you all read with me, please? Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. The Bible says, no man knoweth the day nor the hour, but you can see the signs. Would you all look up with me, please? This is very profound, what I'm going to tell you. Very, very profound. We have many people say, you can't know when Christ is coming back. Then why didn't Christ say to his disciples, you won't be able to know when I'm coming back? You know what it says in Hebrews? Forsake not the assembling of ourselves, what? As the manner of some is, and so much the more as you what? Everybody in the room, and so much the more as you what? Everybody in the room, you're not with me yet. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you what, everybody? Oh, you mean we can see the day approaching? Can we? Are you with me? Did Jesus say how to see the day approaching? He gave us the signs how you'd know that the day is approaching. Are those signs coming to pass? The day is approaching. No man knoweth the day nor the hour. Will you be ready to greet Christ? Will you be at the bar? Will you be looking at a bad magazine? Will you be watching an immoral video? Will you be listening to a dirty joke? Will you be yelling at your spouse? This is my wife's favorite verse. Will you be asleep? Will you be asleep Sunday morning? Will you be ready? They weren't ready for what was coming at Pearl Harbor. Tragedy struck. Will you be ready for what is coming? If you've not yet been saved, will you be saved? If you're saved, get right and warn others about what is coming. Everybody knows John 3:16. For God so what? That he gave his only begotten Son, that whoso believeth him should not perish, but have what? How many of you know John 3:36? It's only 20 verses later. Somebody read it for us. He that hath the Son hath what? And he that hath not the Son hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Is that Bible or not? We all want to hear God so loved us. But 20 verses later, same chapter, he who hath the Son hath life. He who hath not the Son hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. The wrath of God abideth. Pearl Harbor was a lot of wrath. The people weren't ready for what was coming. Too hard to believe. Pastor.